So let's remind ourselves again, all right? You are retraining your soul, all right, to accept what God says. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name. Carry on. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget none of His benefits, who forgives all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases. How many diseases? How many iniquities? All of them. Teach yourself. Teach yourself that that is the case. All right? Don't settle for the small one. All right? Don't say, well, I'll keep the one little sin. It's okay. I'll keep the one little disease. My body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. All right? I'm speaking to my body. I'm speaking to my heart. And I'm telling my heart to pump as it should. I'm speaking to my veins to clear every part of the contamination that could accumulate in my veins. I'm speaking to my liver. I'm speaking to my lungs. I'm speaking to my brain. I'm speaking to any growth that may be in my body, and I speak death into it, and I command life to come into my body. Does that make sense? I speak to my soul, and I tell my soul how well it's doing, all right? And I forget not the benefits that God has given to me, because He pardons all my iniquities. Satan has no authority over my life. He pardons all my iniquities. Satan's legitimate claim over my life is broken. Does that make sense? The paralytic was an illustration of this, because in the paralytic story, Jesus forgave him. And we say, well, maybe his sin was, you know, it was because his sickness was because of his sin. Whether that was the case or not, let me just tell you this. The moment you are forgiven, the authority of Satan over you is broken. All right? Let me say that again. The moment you are forgiven, the authority of Satan over you is broken. That's why I would encourage you to never operate in unforgiveness over anybody else. You want Satan to not have that authority. All right? And by you not forgiving, you are also blocking God from forgiving you, from removing that thing that is staining you. All right? As soon as you forgive, the flow happens. All right? And the Spirit of God can do extraordinary things in there. He redeems my life from destruction. He crowns me with loving kindness and tender mercies. Amen? Now, isn't it interesting that when He talks about being baptized in the Spirit, being filled with the Holy Spirit, all right? He says, speak to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, all right? the psalms in particular are given with a spiritual context. There's more to them than just words and even insights. They're given to build your spirit up. So we're now concentrating on this part. And we're concentrating on the spiritual man. And, you know, somebody once said this, that when they were praying for the sick, God gave them a picture of all the people who were lined up. And He could see their spirits as emaciated. You can have a completely whole spirit, but is not strong. It's not exercised. It's not able to move into the things that God has for you to move in. You're about to go into a ministry situation, all right, and you have to be filled with the Holy Spirit. You're going to be going, some of you are going to be going into ordinary, everyday life situations, a Saturday morning situation, whatever it is. You need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Because at any moment you could get the call. At any moment you could have a circumstance that's going to require you to move into the Spirit and act. All right? From a spiritual perspective, you need to be ready to hear what the Holy Spirit is saying to you. And we sit there and we say, well, if it be His will. Or we sing that song, in His time. You know, even that song makes me, it's so deadly. You know, but in His time, He makes all things possible in His time. I think, come on! You're never going to get anywhere if you're going to wait for God. And I don't mean this in a wrong way, because God is waiting for you. If you're in God's waiting room, you will be waiting there for a long time. If you don't act. Now, it doesn't mean to say that God doesn't have a time. He has certain times that He has set. So there was a time set for Jesus to come. There is a time that is set for His return. And what is interesting, Jesus doesn't know it, but the Father knows it. Isn't that an amazing thought? So there are times, but there are yet other times. So when Mary spoke to Jesus, He said, "It's not my time yet." And God said, "No, you need to move." Was Jesus in sin? No. But He was constantly trained to submit, and Mary ignited that process. When the woman touched Jesus' clothes, He was not aware of what was going on. When He was operating on this earth, He was not operating in His divinity. He was operating as a man. I know this may challenge what you may think, but I'm hoping you can see this. All right? As soon as Mary said, "Whatever He says, do it," God changed the plan. There are times when you are going to have to do something that will initiate a process. You have to be filled with the Holy Spirit intentionally for certain things to happen. We say, "Well, bring them in." And God says, "Well, how will they come in if they have no contact with you?" Is that right? If we are going into a ministry situation and we have no expectation to move by the Spirit, let me tell you that nothing is going to happen. Excuse me. Nothing is going to happen. Because you have no expectation. There is no hope, and therefore there is no faith. Because faith is the assurance of things hoped for. You have to expect. All right? Is that right? So you have to expect that you are equipped by the Holy Spirit to do what you need to do. So when you are being filled, you are being filled whether you feel like it or not. All right? Remember that picture yesterday, all right? And I said that Jesus said, "If anyone is thirsty, let him come to me." Who was the me? Him, Jesus, the rock, all right? The picture was going back to Moses, all right? And when Moses struck the rock, out of the rock came an abundance of water that supplied enough water. We calculated it a little bit yesterday. What did we say was 230? There you go. Just to supply the people of Calgary. All right? So if that was a picture of the number of people that came out of the wilderness, which was slightly more than that, that water had to be there every single day for them, for their flocks, and it all came out of a rock. Jesus has an abundant supply of the Spirit of God for you to handle any situation that we face. But we have to draw from it. We have to draw. We have to be filled with it. We have to say, "Father, you give it to us." And then we have to believe that His Spirit is flowing to us. If you've ever been with, on a mission with some of these guys who are Spirit-filled, they don't waste any time. They start the morning and they say, "Okay, Father God, we are here ready to do your will. All right, we have been equipped by the Spirit of God," and then they start building themselves up. since we have the same spirit of faith, according to what is written, I believed, therefore I spoke. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 13. We believe, therefore speak. All right? Jesus had to speak certain things. I am going back to Judea to raise Lazarus. He was speaking before he saw it. All right? You have to speak it. But, you know, you can't speak it unless you're already filled with the Holy Spirit. And I said this, here's the picture of what it means to be a Spirit-filled person. All right? He was constantly filled and he spoke. So he says in John 12, verse 49, for I have not spoken on my own authority, but the Father who sent me gave me a command that I should say and what I should say and what I should speak. And I know that his command is everlasting life. Therefore, whatever I speak, just as the Father has told me, so I speak. All right? The Father, the Holy Spirit in you is speaking. He's waiting for you to homologeo. He is waiting for you to confess, to speak the same as. All right? Confession is not saying, I'm sorry. Confession is to speak the same as. Yeah? 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 2-4. For he who speaks in a tongue does not speak to men but to God. For no one understands him. However, in the Spirit he speaks mysteries. But he who prophesies speaks edification and exhortation and comfort to men. He who speaks in a tongue edifies himself, but he who prophesies edifies the church. All right? 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 17 and 18 says, For you indeed give thanks well, but the other is not edified. That is, the person is speaking in tongues. All right? I thank my God that I speak with tongues more than you all. How did Paul manage to do what he did? Answer, anybody? He spoke in tongues. He spoke in tongues more than anybody else. And we sit there arguing about whether we should be speaking in tongues. He was never saying, don't speak in tongues. He was saying exactly the opposite. He said, I speak in tongues more than anybody else, but when I'm in a meeting, I have a reason for speaking in tongues, and that's for the prophetic operation to happen. All right? In a setting like this, as we are getting ready to be filled with the Holy Spirit, you're speaking in tongues for a reason, because you are edifying, you're building yourself. You're building this spirit man. You're giving muscles to it. All right? You're making your spirit man strong. You will not be able to survive if you don't get that sorted out in your heart. And I joked around yesterday and I said, you know, this guy said, before you wake up or get out of bed, you need to have spoken in tongues for half an hour. Well, I'm not making that a rule, but I would suggest that you really do need to think about how much you speak in tongues. And people who don't are like people who drink a little sip of water in the course of the day. And that's all they have. And then they wonder why they operate the way they do. A little sip of water every single day ain't going to cut it. You are going to break down in some fashion or the other. You will not be able to survive. Is that right? In the same way, we need to speak in tongues. So, I am going to give you an opportunity. Again, practical work, all right? We're going to start, all right? And when we start, I'd like you to position yourself anywhere in this room, and I would like you to speak in tongues. And you can start small, you know, softly, but I would like you to do move in a little bit more aggression with it. All right? My kids don't get away with stuff. You know, when they're doing their studies and they're struggling, I say, come on. And they say, what do you mean, Dad? I say, come on, let's speak in tongues. All right? And I say, that is not what is going to cut it here. We need to break through in this. The problem is inside of you that is stopping you from being able to break through in your education. And God wants to help you with it. Start speaking in tongues. And in the first instance, I remember my eldest son was like, I said, come on! And he went, and then before long, he was like, and the difference was enormous. Come on. We're dealing with a spiritual atmosphere. Are you aware of it? Can you see all around you? Can you see the opposition? No, we can't. We just feel oppressions. And we have, little indications that things are not so good. But then we do nothing. We don't actually move in the spirit. So, up on your feet, find a place, start speaking in tongues, and then move into that with a little bit more aggression. You can stay on your chair as well. It doesn't matter, but you really need to speak in tongues. Build your spirit up. Shomoko barandaramako baratatibiko babaso barat. Likabaro barandaramako sandi. Niko baratadamoro barandaramako basandi. Loho barabarandaramako barandaramako sibikaradade. Neko barota de barondaramaso niyandaram. Likabara barandaramako sarebiandaramako sandi. Noho barabaranda de mako sika baranda de mosoni. Le shiridi bianda de moko baranda de moko siria. Noho marada de marandi di anda de moko sandi. De meko babo baranda de moko basandi di anda de mos. Neka baranda de mako baranda de moko siri bianda. Neka baranda de mashe bianda de. Can I ask you to just stop for a second? There's a reason why I get you to stop, because it is entirely in your control. You control it. It's not God. You control this. Now, our next step is your expectation as you're speaking in tongues. You have to see the amount of water that He wants to fill you with, because He's going to pour this out of your spirit into somebody's life. The Spirit of God within you is going to open up areas. The gifts of, prophecy, the gifts of the word of knowledge, the gifts of healing, the gifts of miracles have to be broken through into your spirit so that you can then release them into people's lives. You have to expect it. If you're not expecting it, nothing's going to happen. All right? When Peter and John walked into the Gate Beautiful, they said, such as we have. What were they filled with? They were filled with the Spirit of God. And that Spirit of God within them had the gift of healing to give to that man. They were filled with the expectation that they had what Jesus had. All right? So let's do that. Shimiko baranda da makoba sobara biyanda da makobza. Barata da makobaranda da masobara diyanda. Neko barata da makobaranda da masiko. Limere biyanda da makobaranda da masobara diyanda. Nohomara da bika baranda bikasanda. Neka baranda de moso barabarianda. Neka baranda de masabari di karoda baranda. Didiko borota baranda de mako shika baranda de masandi. Ika saka baranda mako baranda dian. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, that you equip us, Father God. Thank you, Father, that I am filled with your Holy Spirit, that I can expect the miraculous to move through me. I speak out gifts of healing. I speak out the miraculous. I speak out the prophetic word. I speak out, Lord God, words of wisdom, words of knowledge. I am expecting them to flow through me. Shomako baranda mako baranda. Nika baro baranda mako sati diyanda. Yirabika roda baranda masiri bikarandi di mikot. Thank you, Jesus, that the love of God is pouring out through my being. that it will pour out and touch people's lives and heal them, Father God. Shibiko barandarma ko barandarama. Noho barandarama ko sandidiyandarama. Didibiko barabarandarama sandidiyandarama. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. We are equipped for a time such as this. Is that right? Amen. For as many as the promises of God, in Him they are yes. Wherein is our amen. Our amen. We have to say amen to it. You have granted me the gift of the word of knowledge. You have granted me the gift of prophecy. You have granted me the gift of healing. You have granted me the miraculous. I am expecting to move in it. I am expecting it to flow through me. Shibiko baranda ramakosanda. Thank you, Lord. Okay. Now you understand a little bit of what I'm saying. With that in mind, has anybody got a word of knowledge? Anybody got a word of prophecy? Word of encouragement? A word of wisdom? Is it forming within you? Don't worry. Don't feel condemned. All right. This is not to make anybody up. You know, I'm not interested in pulling you down. I'm just here to build you up. All right. Sometimes it is formed by just an idea. Sometimes it may happen in an hour's time or a 3 hours' time, and suddenly you find yourself able to break through. When somebody else is struggling, you say, no, come on. And you give them a word, and suddenly you think, where did that come from? Where did that scripture come from? Where did that insightful word come from? It came from this time. Does that make sense? I'm hoping this will help you. You know, and we have to be filled. It says, build yourself up in Jude, all right? In the love of God, build yourself up. Get your spirit man stronger and stronger and stronger. Now you understand that if you went to the gym, all right, and you just did one little session, the muscles may not immediately show, but that regular working builds those muscles, trains you to operate in a spiritual dimension, and helps you see beyond yourself, helps you become sensitized to the Holy Spirit. Amen? Amen? Helps you listen, and you find yourself in certain places. Then, in the quietness of that moment, He's able to say what needs to be said. And you hear it, and you think, oh. So there is this person here with this issue. Please sit down for a second. Some of you have met Jonathan Conrath, and he's been a great encouragement to me at different times. And he's got lots of different stories, but there was one particular story where he talked about this event where he went on a mission to Africa, and he said, Zach, this was the first time that the mission was fully paid for by the people in Africa. He said, all I had was the money for me and one other chap to fly to this country. That's all we had. The rest was going to be by faith. So he went, and he said, the first day they went out in the streets, the second day they went out in the streets and into the schools and so on, and they were doing this sort of thing, all right? I've been out with Jonathan. Those of you who have been out with Jonathan understand. This is how he operates, all right? And then the guy who was leading, you know, working with them, the African guy who was working with them, said, somebody's invited you for a dinner. And they thought, great, free grub, all right? So they got in the car, and this car drove them down a road and then turned. And suddenly they came into a very high-end area with very big houses. And he said, Zach, when I came to this house, there was a butler, an African butler who spoke with a perfect English accent, who greeted us at the door. And he said, I realized we were in either, you know, some embassy type organization, those sorts of houses, or some high-end person's house. And we walked in, and there the lady of the house had invited all her friends, and they were all sitting around a table with all this food, and they were eating their meal, enjoying it. And then she said, Brother Jonathan, do you have a word for us from God? And he said, I was always trained to say yes, whether I feel like I had a word or not. Mm-hmm. So he said, yes. And then he started with the first person, and moving in the spirit, he gave each one a specific prophetic word that was exactly what they needed to hear for each particular person. How does that happen? At the end of it, the hostess went out, came back, and gave him a check for £3,000 to pay for the entire mission. Now, the money's an aside. The fact is that he learned. Now, the person who trained him was trained by somebody else who said, always say yes. Always expect God to give to you. All right. Now, you can only expect that if you're filled with the Holy Spirit. If you're not filled with the Holy Spirit, you're never going to expect anything. All right. We've reached the end of our time. I hope this has been helpful. I hope you can see this process, all right, working out. I am equipped for this time period. We are getting ourselves ready for a mighty move of God in Calgary. Whatever, however that works, if it starts with a trickle or it starts with a flood, whatever it is, I'm equipped because I'm getting filled with the Holy Spirit. All right? And if it needs to be the case that wherever I'm going, in whatever area of work I am involved with, meaning any type of ministry, all of us have ministries. It's not the person who works in quotes, full-time ministry, that has the ministry. Everybody has the ministry. My job is to equip you so that you can do the work of service. Is that right? I'm here to help and support. I'm here to make sure that you achieve your goal. This is not about me. I know they talk about our ministries. Quite frankly, my ministry is to help you. All right? So this is my job. I'm here to support the churches here, achieve the goal that God has for them. And it's going to happen by your hearts responding to God, being filled with the Holy Spirit, being filled with faith. Stephen, filled, when they picked the seven, they filled them, they picked seven men who were filled with the Holy Spirit and therefore filled with faith. Why? So that they could serve at the tables. Our criteria for picking deacons is, you know, do they have particular talent skills? You know, are they good at administration? They pick people who are filled with the Holy Spirit. And they had a diakonos, they had a ministry of their own. Stephen had a ministry of his own. He moved in such power and such wisdom and such an understanding of the scriptures. Philip moved in the evangelistic gifting that God gave him, but he also moved in healing and deliverances. And God confirmed his word. And see how Philip was led by the Spirit. In the middle of a revival, God could speak to him. In the middle of a revival, Norm, that's quite a thing. Because when you're in the middle of a revival, you think you're right where God is moving. In the middle of a revival, God spoke to him and said, go. And he went. because he was moving in line with the Holy Spirit. And then he said, join the chariot. And then he, Philip, had to engage. It wasn't the Ethiopian who said, please, can you help me? It was the Philip who said, do you understand what you're reading? We don't know the consequences of that action, but the Spirit of God obviously did. Has that been helpful?
Yes.
All right. We can believe for some great things. All right. We'll see you tonight. God bless you all.